When you come to church, if you come to church when you could be working somewhere else earning money, it costs you to come to church. It costs you whatever you could be earning if you were working. So when you choose to worship instead of work, it costs you whatever wages you are giving up in order to come worship God. It can be expensive. But an extravagant worshiper, joyfully, cheerfully, zealously, enthusiastically, gladly spends their resources on worship because God is worthy. God is worthy. God is worthy. God is worthy. I praise God for the opportunity and privilege to be able to tithe to Him because He is worthy of it. I praise God for the opportunity and privilege of spending gas to come to church because He is worthy of it. I praise God for the opportunity and privilege of serving His people and sharing the things that He has blessed me with because He is worthy of it, and it magnifies His glory and brings glory to Him. God is worthy to spend upon. Praise God. It's not that we ignore the poor. I mean, you know, Judas was like, oh, we could have got, you know, done that, given it to the poor and all this kind of stuff. You know, he was nothing but a thief. It's not that we ignore the poor. It's not that we ignore our bills and we don't be irresponsible. But when the opportunity comes, it is a joy to spend ourselves and our resources to worship God. And we seize that moment. Praise God. Number three, and I'll try to speed this up. So, an extravagant worshiper spends their time in worship. They spend their resources in worship. And number three, an extravagant worshiper is willing to spend their reputation in worship. You know, Mary got so caught up here tending to the Lord. Mary took a lot of heat for what she did. An extravagant worshiper doesn't care. An extravagant worshiper doesn't give 2 cents about what man thinks about them because they worship. They have one desire. One thing have I desired, to behold the beauty of the Lord. And I don't care if my friends think I'm ridiculous or my family thinks I'm, you know, impractical or if my boss has a problem that I don't want to be on the job on Sunday morning or whatever it happens to be. An extravagant worshiper is willing to spend their reputation in worship. Mary got so caught up in worshiping the Lord that she let her hair down. Now, that might not mean anything to us, but back in that day, for a Jewish woman, a proper Jewish woman, to let her hair down like that was scandalous. It was a sign, it was almost marking her as a loose woman or as an immoral woman. It was provocative. It questioned, it called her motives into question. And she set herself up as a target so that people, if they wanted, could actually shame her for being indecent. But you know what? She didn't care because she had no thought about what men thought about her. She didn't care if people thought she was nuts for worshiping at the feet of Jesus or if she was some kind of fanatic or something like that. I'm a fanatic for Christ. I pray that God would make me 10 times the fanatic that I am. I pray that people would think I'm absolutely ridiculous because I want to spend time in the presence of God. I don't care. You know, good grief, we get so worried about what will people think if God actually breaks out and starts doing something powerful in our midst. We might be thought of as one of those, you know, crazy churches or Pentecostal churches. Well, praise God. That's what we are. Mary was too caught up worrying about what God thought of her to be bothered with what men thought of her. And so she just gave herself over to it. Not only that, she was willing to take the blistering criticism of Judas, and then it says that the other disciples even got caught up in it. Judas started it, but then in the other passages, all the disciples join in, and it said that they jumped all over her and criticized her for, you know, pouring this ointment all over Jesus. And you know what? She never argued. She never defended herself. She didn't cop an attitude. She didn't get catty and, you know? You know how, you know, she didn't give them the eye. Oh, yeah, uh-huh. You know, you ladies know what I'm talking about, you know? She just kept on worshiping. She didn't roll her eyes. She didn't argue. She didn't defend herself. If that's what they think, that's what they think. I'm too busy worshiping Christ. Let them say what they want. Let them think what they want. Is it a waste? Oh, well, I waste it. Then let me waste that and more in the service of my God. Praise God. People might think you are impractical or selfish for spending your time and your money and your resources in worship. Anybody ever get criticized for coming to church? Anybody? Oh, you going to church again? Are you kidding me? You were just there last week. You were just there Wednesday. You can't tell me you're going there again. What is it with you people? Yeah. Yeah. It hurts sometimes when it's people we love that don't understand. Praise God. They might think you're impractical. They might criticize you. They might think you're being ungodly for spending so much time worshiping God. When we went to Peru, I had people ask me, what are you going to do down there? You're going to build, you know, you're going to dig wells for them? You're going to build roads for them? You're going to, you know, minister medicine to them? No, we're just going to tell them about Jesus. You're kidding. You're spending all that money to go tell them about Jesus? And they look down on us. You know, they're like, what? You think you're so this, that, and the other thing. No, we're just going to tell them about the Lord. We're just going to go out and pray for people. We're just going to go out and worship. We're going to spread the gospel. What? Praise God. Some people might slam you just because they think you're stupid. You know, they don't believe. They don't believe in any of this God stuff. Praise God. Todd Bentley sometimes gets so caught up in the presence of God that he looks a little foolish and a little awkward and a little undignified. I pray the Lord would grant us the freedom to be undignified in His presence. Like David, when David danced before the Lord and his wife criticized him because she said, oh, you're so undignified. What are you showing off to all the women? He said, no, I'm just worshiping God. And sometimes when you get caught up in it, you know, no. You know, when you can walk into some church services and you can measure with scientific precision everything that will happen in that service. It's all pre-planned. It's written in the program. It's already decided. In fact, you can time your watch to what happens in their service. And nobody says or does anything that might even have the hint or appearance of being one iota out of place. It's like a cemetery. Nothing happens there. It's all and I don't mean that. And I don't mean one denomination over another. That can happen in Pentecostal churches if the fire has gone out. Praise God. But if you come in and the Spirit begins to move and it makes you a little bit undignified, it's not dignified to come out here and bawl your eyes out because the glory of God has descended upon you and His presence is coursing through you like rivers of life, man. I have wept before the Lord so that my face became beet red and my clothes became wrinkled and wet and the carpet became wet and my shirt tail came out of my belt. You know? When even the glory falls on you, man, who knows? Does anybody here have any desire to see people delivered from demonic oppression? Delivered from the torment and the slavery of demonic oppression? Do you know it's not pretty to cast out a demon? When the Holy Ghost falls on somebody, and I've been to men's retreat where they cast out some demons. You know what? It wasn't pretty. And in the Bible, if you go to the Bible, it wasn't pretty. Jesus didn't walk up and say, excuse me, Mr. Demon, please, would you? It's time you have to go. I understand. Thank you very much. You know, don't come back again. The boy fell out and began to tremble almost like he was having epileptic seizures because that demon was fighting. He didn't want to go, and it took the power of God to cast that thing out of him. It wasn't pretty. I'm sure it scared a lot of people. And we were down on up at Massanetta in the mountains at that retreat center, and they had altar ministry, and a couple of guys had demons cast out of them, and they would shriek and cry out as these things were coming out of them. Praise God that they did. Because these men were delivered from bondage. They were delivered from the power of darkness and set free into the liberty of the sons of God. And that is just not dignified. It wasn't dignified to hang Christ upon the cross, naked except for a loincloth, beaten and broken and oozing blood from every stripe on his back. The cross is not a dignified thing. It's a little undignified, but it is beautiful in its undignity. It is glorious in its ruggedness. It's That's why they have the song, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. Praise God. An extravagant worshiper is willing to spend their reputation to worship God, even if it's a little foolish or a little bit awkward. You know, I saw the comments on the internet after the articles about what was happening in Florida, and I won't drag this out a whole lot longer, but I saw some of the comments by unbelievers about Christians who believed in this stuff, and some of them were stinging, nasty, horrific, scathing comments about believers, looking down on them and saying, you know, this bunch of stupid Christians, man, they're just getting fleeced again. Here they go again. And things that I can't even repeat. But an extravagant worshiper glories in that. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for counting me worthy to suffer reproach for your name. I'll carry it like a badge of honor. Let me close with one last observation. And this is so cool. This blows my mind. John puts a very interesting sentence in this passage. It says that as Mary anointed Jesus' feet with oil and wiped his feet with her hair, that the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. That fragrant cloud, that aroma of worship filled the house. It reminds me of Acts chapter 2, where it said the Holy Ghost came with the sound of a rushing mighty wind, and the sound of it filled the house where they were worshiping, where they were praying. You know, when the glory of God comes down and moves in a mighty way, it fills the house with His presence. We are the fragrance of Christ to those who are being saved and those who are perishing. And I love this passage. It said that fragrance filled the house. Oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. It's almost like he's trying to be poetic here and saying it's as though the oil of the Holy Spirit's anointing filled that place as she gave herself in worship. That's why it's so important, truly, to give ourselves over to God in worship so that fragrance of the anointing of the Holy Spirit can fill the place where we are. Praise God, in brokenness. You know, I think about the fact that she broke an alabaster flask and how God calls us to be broken before Him, to be yielded and surrendered to Him so that our self-will and our self-sufficiency is broken. And as we yield to Him and we fall at His feet and surrender to Him and say, God, here I am. Take me. Take all of me. I worship You. You are worthy of everything I am and hope to be. And as we are broken before Him and yielded before Him, that glory cloud comes down and that Spirit begins to move and fill the room with the fragrance of Christ. It comes from worshiping in brokenness and surrender before God. And if we will do that, then the anointing of the Lord will begin to overshadow our lives like a cloud. And that is when we will see God move in signs and wonders and in mighty waves of His Holy Spirit. We will be extravagant worshipers, willing to spend our time, willing to spend our resources, and even our reputation to worship Christ. If we forget about what it's going to cost us to worship Him and just do it, just pour ourselves out, if we strip away our pride and just be broken, He will flood our lives with the fragrant cloud of His presence and anointing. And I am absolutely persuaded of that. You know, I don't know what problems you came with here today. And I don't know how long you've been struggling with some of them. And maybe you have prayed before God and you have sought counsel and you have tried in your best wisdom and in your best strength and in your best resources to try to break through this thing that has just been binding you up in your life. But I believe with all of my heart that if we will come before the feet of Christ broken like that alabaster box and be willing to spend and be spent on Him, if we will simply surrender and simply say, God, I am helpless. I lay helpless at Your feet. Like Martin Luther, when he faced the Inquisition, he just laid on his face before the Lord and said, Christ, I'm Yours. Save me. Over and over and over, just on his face, prostrate before the Lord. Save me, Lord, I'm Yours. Save me, Lord, I'm Yours. Save me, Lord, I'm yours. I have nothing brilliant to pray to you, Lord. I am a broken man. I am a broken woman before you. I have nothing to impress you with, God. I come empty-handed. I come bankrupt before your throne, seeking your grace. God, here I am. Flow through me. Fill me with your presence. And let me just worship you, God. I don't know what the future holds. You know, I have all these things hanging over me. God, it's okay. I surrender. If it's your will that these things fall upon me, then let it fall upon me in such a way that it brings you glory. Because I give up trying to preserve myself. I surrender me to you. And as you lay prostrate and worshiping God with everything you are and everything you dream of being, that's when His glory can fill your life like a cloud. And then just walk in that. Joyce Myers used to say, you know, she used to get upset because her husband would be at work. She'd be working in the kitchen, worshiping God. Oh, you know, praise God, praise Jesus, singing hymns and all this kind of stuff. And then she'd hear the knock at the door, you know, or the door opening. And she would get discouraged. Oh, he's coming home, you know. I guess I got to stop worshiping. And then she realized later on, no, I don't. Yeah, I might have some problems in my relationship, but I'll just worship God. When He comes in, I'm just going to love Him and embrace Him, and I'm going to pray God's blessing on it, and I'm just going to yield to whatever the Lord wants to do. And she said, you know, it transformed their relationship. I don't know what God wants to do in your life today. But I am absolutely, completely, totally convinced and persuaded that if we'll just be like that alabaster box, just be broken before Him and spend ourselves in worship, that He will show Himself faithful. He will not despise. A broken and contrite heart He will not despise. He is tender. He is more tender than the day is long. When you cry out to God, He's not callous. He's not on the other side of the universe with you trying to get His attention. The Scripture says He holds our tears and counts our tears and holds them in a bottle. He knows everything. That He knows our deepest, most passionate cries of our heart. And He just calls us to lay it all before His throne and trust Him so He can fill us with His cloud of glory and do things by His grace that we could never do in our own strength. We could never imagine or dream of doing in our own strength. He wants to do by His grace. So if we could have the music ministry come, if we just want to close in worship, and we just want to get before the throne of God, I just feel like we should do something a little, you know, on the quiet side. But we just want to fall before His throne. Amen. Whatever it is that you brought in with you today, I would just invite you to leave it before the throne of God. Just place it there at His feet. Amen. God, as we come before you in worship right now, Lord, we're aware of your holiness, Lord. We're aware that you are the Ancient of Days. The thousand stand before you, and thousands of thousands minister, Lord, before you, Lord. Lord, we know that your angels are in this place right now, joining us, Lord, as we join them to worship you, Lord. And we know that you want to show us your glory, Lord. We don't have to beg you. You've been waiting for us, God, in this place, Lord. You want to show us how powerful you are. You desire that our eyes would be filled with a vision with your majesty and your glory and your power, Lord. So we just bring these things to your throne right now. We bring them to your feet right now, Lord God, and we lay them at your feet in worship. And we declare you to be Almighty God, our provider. Hallelujah, Lord. We release your provision into our lives right now, Lord. We release your answers into our lives right now. We pray your angels that you would send them, Lord, with your provision, Lord. And that you would make a way clear before them to bring your provision to us, God. Thank you, Lord. All of me, Lord. Yes. All of me, Lord. Yes. Let's keep singing that. Oh, Lord. Speak your power into my relationships, God. I know there's people here, Lord, who are carrying a burden of something in a relationship, God. We pray you'd speak your power into that relationship right now, God. Bring insight and wisdom. Bring yieldedness, God. Bring gentleness, tenderness, God. Lord, let there be reconciliation. Lord, let the fear just melt away, God. Give grace, Lord, to embrace. Yes, Lord. You know, that word fear just came to my mind and stuck in my mind. If there's someone here today who's, I believe the Lord brought that word for a purpose. Maybe there's something that you're afraid of. And it won't let you be. You try to push it away and push it away, and it just keeps coming back and coming back and coming back. The Lord doesn't want you to be afraid anymore. He wants you to be delivered from that bondage. He wants to set you free. He wants to give you the grace to completely and fully trust in Him. And so we just want to... He wants to cast that spirit of fear away from you. I believe that with all my heart. And if that's you, if you just want to lift your hand to God and say, Lord, that's me. That's me, Lord. Just receive His promise by faith. And stand up. You are a child of God. He has redeemed you. The enemy has nothing that he can do in your life. He can't touch you without God's permission. And God has you in His hand. Oh, Lord. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind and self-control. If that's a spirit of fear that is tormenting you, that is not of God. You do not need that in your life. You can just claim the blood of Jesus and put your faith in that blood, because it has purchased you and delivered you from the power of darkness. You don't have to be afraid anymore. And you can stand confidence in God. Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just worship. Hallelujah, Lord.